Are we online? Good morning, church. Good morning to those online. I got one of those. That's a good sign. It's really been a great opportunity to prepare. When I phoned Brian, he phoned and asked if I was available to preach, and I said yes, that would be a wonderful opportunity. He said, well, we are doing the Advent theme and peace. Wonderful to consider the peace of the Lord. We often hear it saying, the peace of the Lord be with you. We close our services often going out in peace. I remember Douglas Muller and Ian Thompson. He would often say, please pass the peace to one another. The congregation would pass the peace, the shalom of God. That word peace is found over 400 times in Scripture. Right from Genesis through to Revelation, you find the word peace. At times, it's a greeting. At times, it's goodbye. At times, of course, it's the blessing. Peace. God's peace. I was encouraged again to see the candle lit, although the breeze had something to do with the flame. But the flame doesn't die in our hearts as we serve the Lord. The candle of peace. When I prepared this message for God's peace, and by that I mean, is there a time for each one of us to prepare to receive God's peace? I know the peace I give to you, it's a gift from God. But is there a preparation for each one of us? Lana shared when she was part of the worship group a scripture that we all know. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. The preparation and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Preparation time. After what I would refer to as a somewhat dramatic, chaotic, I don't think there's enough adjectives to describe this year in world events, there is comfort for each one of us to be found when we use this Advent time to, yes, just make and take time to remember the Lord in this time, to read, to pray. And then, yes, it's very good to reflect on what God has been doing in and through each one of us, and yes, particularly through His church. I believe the church has a very special impact in its ministry at this time in the world, but also here in this highway area. The second Sunday of Advent gives us the opportunity to, yes, to prepare our hearts faithfully waiting. It's a beautiful time to reflect on the way prophecy has been fulfilled. And yes, again, to ponder what the prophets prophesied and how we are actually seeing these prophecies fulfilled in our time, day, and age. In Psalm 46, verse 10 and 11, we read these words, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And this is our opportunity over the next few days as we lead up to the birth, that we celebrate the reason for the season, to remember who God is, what He's done for us, and His purpose in our lives. Our lives at times, particularly in this day and age, are so hurried. Everything is push the button and press it and go. But we get so caught up in this hurried lifestyle, and it's our own personal things. Nothing wrong at all with them. But we seem to end up with all these to-do lists. We need to take time. Take time. Make time in, yes, our busy schedules for prayer, meditation. And yes, to really ask the Lord what He has for each one of us at this time in our lives. And as we prepare our hearts to celebrate the arrival of Jesus, this gift to all humanity, let us stir up in our hearts a sense of this anticipation. I know Norman's here. Norman and I did some carol singing many, many years ago. We had wonderful times going to places to sing these carols. And of course, Norman's favorite, and I think mine ended up one as well. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. And then these words, let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. The word Advent comes from a Latin word, Adventus, which means coming or arrival. And during the 4th and 5th centuries, Christians at that time used it as a preparation time for baptism, for baptizing new converts. This was a time that they put aside during the Advent season. And so the words that I gave, preparing for receiving God's grace. What do you and I want more than anything in the world? To put it another way, what would you and I prioritize above all other things if, yes, we had the power to bring it about? Just think of that for a moment. What would we prioritize? What would we be prepared to put aside if we had it in our power? I'm not a great movie watcher. I like animated movies, because if I fall asleep and wake up, I can pick up the theme somewhere along, or I recognize the tune. But in the film Miss Congeniality, the actress Sandra Bullock, she plays the role of a FBI agent, and she goes undercover at a beauty pageant to foil a plot to violently disrupt that event. And at the interview portion in the pageant, the master of ceremonies asks her, what is the most important thing our society needs? Without hesitation, she replies, that there would be harsher punishment for parole violators. The audience, not expecting that particular answer, is stunned to silence. And then the actress quickly adds, and world peace. And world peace. Immediately the audience stand and applaud, and they can't express themselves. World peace. Everyone, I believe, wants world peace. Or rather, should I say, everyone is supposed to want world peace. The state of the world, however, suggests otherwise. World peace is a worthy goal, but of course, what happens when the other party disagrees? I'm going to read from the Amplified Translation, and I'll refer to some of the words in it. It's purely words that express the meaning of words like repentance, repent, think differently, change your mind, regretting your sins and changing your conduct. That's the Amplified Translation. I'm reading from chapter 3 of Matthew. In those days there appeared John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness and saying, repent, Think differently, change your mind, regretting your sins and changing your conduct, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is he who was mentioned by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one calling in the desert, in the wilderness, prepare the road for the Lord, make his ways straight. This same John's garments were made of camel's hair, and he wore a leather girdle about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the country around about the Jordan went out to him. And they were baptized in the Jordan by him, confessing their sins. But when he, John, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee and escape from the wrath and indignation that is coming? Bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. Let your lives prove your change of heart. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our forefather, for I tell you, God is able to raise up descendants for Abram from these stones. And already the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water because of repentance, that is, because of your changing your minds for the better, heartily amending your ways with abhorrence of your past sins. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy or fit to take off or carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This John the Baptist. It wouldn't seem that John the Baptist was interested in peace as a goal. Not at least at first glance. And yet he draws all these crowds. There must be something in John's message that draws these crowds. He attracts all types of people, young and old, Pharisees, Sadducees, people from across the religious spectrum. He appeals to all different kinds of people. And we wonder why. What is it about this odd prophet who suddenly appears in the wilderness proclaiming a message of what we might say tough love, that crowds flock to him? What is it about John, whom Matthew makes this astonishing announcement that 500 years earlier, Isaiah prophesied of this voice calling in the desert? What is it about this man who urges people to be baptized? It's because of the promise. The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is near. When John uses the word the kingdom of heaven, he's using a euphemism. John says that heaven really should be God. It was not permitted in Judaism to use the name of God casually or even write it down in its entirety. And John uses the word heaven. When I looked at the kingdom of heaven, Paul also reminds us the kingdom of heaven is not about eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. John knows something, that something is about to change. Something in the lifestyle of people is going to change. The King of coming is coming. It's only the second Sunday in Advent, but you and I know already that Christmas is already happening out there. The Christmas carols and the Mary's Boy Child through the malls continues to be played. Lights are being lit up everywhere. And the TV shows and magazines are telling us how to enjoy this new season. But we as believers celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the reason for the season. And as I again thought on this season, I'm one of those, unfortunate people to have a birthday on the 23rd of December, and of Scottish family makes it even more challenging. Yes, I grew up as a spoilt only child, absolutely wonderful. But my father would come along and say, right, my boy. He would say, hey, sir, it's nearly your birthday. I'm giving you a pair of pajamas. You can decide if you want the top for Christmas and the bottom for... Things you never forget in your life. Ever forget in your life. But I was spoiled. I knew there was other things in the offing, but I had to face the music. One of the words that really also got my attention was bear fruits worthy of repentance. We need to bear fruits worthy of this repentance, this turning around in our lives. We need to witness through these bearing of fruits in our lives. When you and I find peace in and through Jesus Christ, that's what I mean by receiving. We find peace in and through Jesus Christ. This time in the season is a perfect time, I believe, for the church to be a witness to, yes, the love, the joy, the hope, and the peace of Jesus Christ. We're a witness to the world out there. A world that's really in turmoil. The body of Christ, in the unity that we show as the body of Christ, also is a witness to the work of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The second scripture that I've led to read was from Romans. Paul writing to the church, Romans 15, and I'm picking up from verse 4. For whatever was thus written in former days was written for our instruction. What was written in the former days, they referred to the Old Testament as the former days. What was ever written in the former days was used for our instruction. Some translations say teaching. That by our steadfast and patient endurance and encouragement from the scriptures, we might hold fast to and cherish hope. Hope in Jesus Christ. We might hold on to these teachings. The passage begins with a reminder of having hope in our hearts as we turn to Jesus Christ. And Paul begins by referring to what was written. Written in the past. Just one of the scriptures that were written in the past. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. As we live out this reality in our lives, in our relationships, in the church, one with another, we give God the glory. We are glorifying God. The peace lived out, yes, in the church, it does not become a sign that points to the church, the building, but rather a sign to those looking for peace in and through Jesus Christ. I was encouraged by your prayer to pray for those who have not come into this relationship with the Lord. A wonderful opportunity at this time for that God can speak to and minister to family, loved ones that don't have this relationship with the Lord. God intended to bring each and every one of us into this relationship with Him. He is a God of peace. And we are encouraged by reading the Word. Paul concludes his letter, and I'm not going to read all the 14 verses, just refer to some of them. But Paul concludes this verses with this blessing. It's a blessing that he's holding out to the church, and I believe he's holding out to both you and I. Here's what it says. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would open our hearts and our minds to receive that from Him this morning. Ted came and prayed with me at the start of the service, and he used words, the light and the lamp, and we lit the candle, a light. I am very interested in lighthouses. Ted says he has this light. Light means something special to him. I, as I say, enjoy reading about, finding out about lighthouses. Many years back now, I visited family in Australia. And one of my nephews actually was staying at the lighthouse that is positioned over the entrance to the Sydney Harbour. There are 7 lighthouses at the entrance to that Sydney Harbour. Reason being, it's treacherous. It's a magnificent river and a magnificent entrance, but it's very dangerous. There's 7 lighthouses. I went into the main one that's on the top of the bluff area, managed to climb right up the spiral stairs, and spoke to the keeper. And he was telling me of the images that he sees as he goes up there and checks that everything is functioning as it was designed. See, there are stormy days, and of course there are calm days. He particularly mentioned that often when he looked out in the early evening, beautiful calm seas, and the calmness that's brought about by looking at those calm scenes. That's how I picture God's peace at times, because they are changing conditions in my life, and I'm sure in yours. But we need to be vigilant. We need to be vigilant, and we need to be aware and keep looking. Keep looking at the beacon of light, which is Jesus Christ. There are different kinds of peace. God's peace. Peace with God. That's a peace which is an assurance that we receive through faith in God. There is, of course, There is the peace of God. That's that calm center we find in the midst of life's trials. And yes, it is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is a fruit. Fruit doesn't appear on a tree, but it will eventually blossom into a fruit. And yes, there's peace with others. That's a stillness that we find inside of us when, yes, people around us push our buttons, as we say. Romans 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Let us pray. The prayer of St. Francis. Make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Lord, this second week of Advent, we ask that you would keep us in perfect peace as our minds stay on the truth of your love for us. Help us, Lord, we pray, to trust fully in you, and yes, find rest in the peace that only you can give. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.